wonder if you might pray with me and for me this morning. Oh, gracious God, I pray as we seek responses and answers to questions this morning, God, first we would open our ears and listen to you. God, that in some way you might speak through me this morning. God, that you would, in your own beautiful way, give each of us ears to hear what you want us specifically to hear this morning. That our hearts might be open to understanding, that we might be willing to be transformed. So come, Holy Spirit, do what you do and let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said in the beginning, we're starting this new series today called What's That? Where we're dealing with your questions. And I want to first start off by saying you asked really good questions, some really intense questions, some very thoughtful questions. And what was interesting was a lot of questions sort of formed together for categories. So it made my life a little bit easier. You also asked so many questions that we're not going to get to all of them during this series. Now, next week, when you come next week, we are going to do a live Q&A time as part of the sermon. So I'm really excited about that. You're going to have an opportunity to submit those questions, and we're not going to have them prepared. We're going to do live. So I'm sure we'll have lots of, I don't know, and we'll do our best. But Pastor Marcel and I will be up here, and we're really looking forward to answering your questions and walking through that with you. I want to say there are some churches and there are some traditions where they say it's not okay to question. I think the beginning of this series today, it's really important to name, it's okay to question. In fact, it's okay to question God. If you read the Psalms in the center of your Bible, about a third of them are people asking God questions. God, I don't understand it. If you follow the life of the disciples, much of their time they're asking Jesus questions. Like, I don't understand this. Can I do this? Am I allowed to do this? Is this okay? So I want to say, not only can God handle our questions, I believe God welcomes our questions. Because those questions are part of relationship. If you've ever had children, you know there are lots of questions. They ask you lots of questions, then later in life you begin to ask them lots of questions. But questions are part of relationship. So I want to name that, and I want to put that out there. I want to give you a couple of caveats. First of all, if my wife were here, she would tell you this is definitely true. I don't have all the answers. It's really, really important. So there are going to be questions that have come up that I don't have all the answers for. There are going to be some questions that we're going to answer in other series. I did some series planning this week. We're going to answer in other series. But I don't have all the answers to all the questions. Second thing is, you may disagree with my answer. That's okay. You're allowed. In our tradition, we believe that God speaks to more than the pastor. Right, God has the capacity to speak to you, and God has the capacity to say powerful things to you. So I want to encourage you to listen. Listen for the voice of God, because ultimately God has the final authority, not Tim. God has the final authority as we look at these questions. The first question that we're answering today did not surprise me. It was the question that was sort of, lots of questions were coming around. It's a question that every time I do a series like this comes up. And the question is, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? It's a big question. It's an important question. I would rephrase the question to be, why does God allow bad things to happen to reasonably good people? Because the truth is, when we talk about this concept of good and bad, it's a pretty relative term, right? We discern who's good. We discern who's bad. We sort of put the line down. But the truth is, we all have that capacity for being both of those realities. So this question, it's a big one. It's a real one. It's an important one. It's one that people often outside of the church ask me. How can you believe in a God when all of these bad things are happening? Now, I will admit, often that question is asked when bad things are happening to that individual or to their community. Right? There are people asking questions, how does God allow X to happen in the United States, for example, where they never asked that question when it was happening in Guatemala or in Cuba. And the question becomes, how does God allow bad things happen in my sphere, in my place? But the truth is, when people who are outside of the church ask me this question, they don't ask it angrily. They're not coming at me. They're saying, Tim, how can you believe in a God when poverty exists? When hatred and racism exist? How can you believe in a God when, and just fill in the blank, these terrible things exist? The Barna Group is a group that does a lot of research on churches and on societies, on why people participate in church. And they say that evil and suffering is a major issue for people who are not part of the church. It's a major issue for folks who are saying, I don't know if I can believe in God. In fact, they say not only is it a major issue, it is the issue. It is the thing that makes people go, I don't know if I can do this. It's the thing that people can't reconcile. The most common question asked when they said, if you could ask God any question, what would it be? Was this, why is there pain and suffering in the world? Does that resonate with anybody else? Why is there pain and suffering in the world? John Stott, who's a Christian theologian who studies this stuff, he has this beautiful quote that talks about this, and I love sharing it. He says this, the fact of suffering undoubtedly constitutes the single greatest challenge to the Christian faith and has been in every generation. He's saying this isn't new. It's a reality for generation after generation. Its distribution and degree appear to be entirely random and therefore, what's the next word? Unfair. We really like things to be fair, don't we? Unfair. Sensitive spirits ask if it can possibly be reconciled with God's justice and love. Fairness is really important to us. We want the world to be fair. Some years ago, a really good friend of mine who had been in a really difficult marriage, it was an abusive marriage, stepped out, they got divorced. She was a single mom raising her kids for a while. And she went back to a high school reunion and she reconnected with someone from high school. It was such a beautiful story. He had never been married. He was in his 50s and they reconnected and it was so beautiful. Like I saw my friend come to life again. I was so excited about their marriage. And just a couple of years into their marriage, he was diagnosed with a fatal cancer. I mean, really, really terrible. So bad that it was almost instantaneously told to him, you're not going to beat this thing. And this person who she had seemingly waited her entire life for and who he had waited his entire life for, he was a great parent to her kids. He was a great partner for her. He was gone within 6 months. And when you hear stories like that, you have to ask this question, right? I mean, seriously. Why did that happen to them? I mean, she's such a good person, gave so much of who she was. He was so good. He was so good for her. Why do things like this happen? They're very hard to explain. And the question often comes with situations like this. If God is a God of love, how can God allow this to happen? If God is a God of goodness, how can God allow this to happen? It's very hard for me to explain. I have friends right now who live in Palestine. Good friends. And they're not part of Hamas, for any that want to go down that road. They're just good people living in Palestine. And right now, they're losing their land. They're losing their livelihood. They have lost their jobs because they were in the tourism industry, which is almost gone. And you have to ask, for a family like that, what did they do? Why do they deserve this to happen? How does something like that happen? And I think when we ask this question, why does God allow these things to happen? It's probably the wrong question. Because I think what it is it's us putting qualities on God that God doesn't put on God's self. Never in Scripture does God say, I'm the great micromanager. Never in Scripture does God say, I'm going to come and take over everything. I'm going to run everything. In fact, quite the contrary. In the very beginning of Scripture, when humanity is created, there's a tree in the middle of a garden, a tree that represents the knowledge of good and evil. And humanity is not told they're not allowed to eat from that tree. They're told don't, but they're given free will to do it. And humanity chooses the opposite of good in that moment. Humanity makes a choice. God does not force that choice on them. And God does not keep them from making that choice. See, I think we struggle with God when we put qualities on God that God doesn't put on God's self. When we say, why won't God fix this thing? We struggle with it. So I want to take you to a really interesting example of this in Scripture. I'm going to take you to the book of Job. Job is also near the center of your Bible. It's often now, many people believe Job was a story that was told, that it wasn't a real thing that happened. It was a parable or an allegory. And it really gives us the picture of the interactions between God and humanity and good and evil. And I want you to hear what happens in this story, looking at just a few verses in the first chapter. It says, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. I love when scripture just throws things out like that. And Satan came with them, right? The Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he'll surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. It's an interesting story, right? I think it gives us the picture that God is not the micromanager. God says, you're evil, and evil exists in the world, and evil is going to come upon Job, not because Job has been bad and not because God is going to bring it on him, but rather because of the realities of the world. In fact, God does not strike down Job as Satan tells God to. God simply allows it to happen. So this is the first thing, and came up a little bit early for you, so that's good. The first thing that we get from this story is this reality. Evil exists. It does. We can say we live in a world where evil doesn't exist, but friends, all you got to do is look around. We can see that there is an evil reality in the world. And I'm not trying to get scary for you. I'm not trying to make you fearful. I'm just trying to say it's real. There is evil. There is that which is not good that exists in the world. And in fact, people study this stuff and they say the truth is, as American cultures, we're actually really drawn towards it. We almost sort of like it. PBS, The Great American Read, was an 8-part story on America's 100 best loved novels. And one of the things they studied was that Americans can't seem to get enough of novels with notorious villains and monsters. And the question is, why are we drawn to this? Why are we drawn to the bad guy in the story? Why are we drawn to this? Well, a lot of literary critics gave some feedback, and they said, evil is interesting, it's exciting, our heart rate increases, blood flow changes. There are villains in literature because there are villains in life. They allow us to see a little bit of what it might be like to go beyond the edges of accepted society. The monster is very human. You can almost sympathize with the monster. We identify with the villain. You can understand a little bit about what has made them and what has shaped them. Their monstrosity doesn't seem foreign. Have you ever found yourself watching a show and rooting for the bad guy or a movie? I have. Like, I have found myself. Years ago, and maybe this is not good to tell you, I watched the show House of Cards. Anybody else? And I was like, oh man, he's going to get caught. I don't want him to get caught. He should have gotten caught. Right, he was the bad guy in the story, but I found myself rooting for the bad guy. There's something about us that likes the villain. Like, we like the bad guy. We're drawn to it. And I don't know if it's in every society, but it's certainly in ours. So I think we just have to acknowledge, for this question to come out and for us to wrestle with it, we have to acknowledge that evil exists. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing we get from the story. Life, not God, is unfair. Fair is an important term. Fair is something that we like to talk about. Fair is something I talk to my children about. But I think it's really important to differentiate between life and God. And communion's coming in a little while. Just stay with that. We're getting all kinds of tricks on the screen today. But life, not God, is unfair. And that's a really, really important thing. Philip Yancey, in his book, Disappointment with God, says it this way. He says, we tend to think life should be fair because God is fair. But God is not life. And if I confuse God with the physical reality of life by expecting constant good health, for example, then I set myself up for crashing disappointment. Anybody else? When I confuse life and God, I'm going to be disappointed. When I confuse the realities of the world with God's intervention, I get disappointed. I mean, we ask the questions all the time. Why in the world is this happening to my kid and not the bad kid down the street? Why is this not happening to my neighbor? Why is my neighbor getting that big, beautiful thing and I don't have it because I can't afford it when I do all that is good in the world? Why? We live in this world of comparisons where it just doesn't seem fair that some people aren't getting the things. And friends, I want to give you a message this morning that will change your life if you've never heard it. Life is unfair. And I actually think we should teach our kids that. Life is unfair. And I don't say that to be negative, but it's just true. But God is not unfair. The world is not a fair place. There are lots of reasons for it. I think free will and our reality makes it the case. But the world is not fair. So life, not God, is unfair. Here's the third point. Sometimes we make bad decisions. And please do not, if you walk out today and you say, Pastor Tim said, I have this disease because I made bad decisions. I did not say that. That is not true. I don't believe that cancer comes from bad decisions. But I do believe that some of the things that happen to us come because we make bad decisions. I'll give you an example. A couple of weeks ago, I was starting to feel tightness in my back, and I know it. I know when it's coming, and I know when it's happening. And you know, there's a real solution for that. Stretch it. Do the work, put in the work, put in the time. But I didn't do it. I was going for runs. I was being lazy. I wasn't stretching my back. It's okay. No big deal. I felt it tightening. I knew something was going to happen. We had a cleanup day at our house. A bunch of people from the church came over, helped out, did cleanup day, and I went down for a shovel, and I heard it. I felt it. I felt my back pop. And I know in that moment that nothing is going to fix it for like 3 weeks. I got to do lots of yoga, lots of stretching, all this kind of stuff. I knew that what I needed to do in that moment was just stop, but I didn't. I kept going. I kept shoveling dirt. I kept getting it up because I couldn't imagine all these people being there and me not helping. Now, friends, what if I had come in the next Sunday and I'd say, y'all, God is not fair. I got all this pain in my back, and why would God let me do that? I'm a pastor, for goodness sakes. My life should be perfect and easy. You all would laugh and say that's the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard. Because guess what, Tim? You were dumb, right? You shouldn't have been shoveling. You should have stretched. But I didn't. I didn't do those things, so I pay for the repercussions of my actions. Sometimes people will come to me about their marriage. And look, there's a lot of grace in this, and everything is nuanced. And they'll say, my spouse wants out. And I say, okay, tell me more. Well, I know I cheated on him, and I know I didn't come home anymore, and I know I stopped paying attention. And I said, okay, again, grace. Let's walk through grace. This is not judgment. But know that God didn't break up your marriage. That God didn't bring that to you. And they'll say, well, why did God allow this to happen? Well, friends, we make choices sometimes that lead to our outcomes. And I don't say that again in a judgmental way. That's just real, right? If I yell at my kid, there are gonna be repercussions from that. God did not force me to yell at my child, but that happened. So I think sometimes we make bad decisions. Now, I'm going to pivot just for a second here. I'm going to wrap up and I'm going to pivot. Every time I talk about this with anybody that I talk about it with, I do add one final caveat, something I don't understand and I'll never be able to explain to you, and that's on the healing nature of God. I do believe God heals with all of who I am because I read the New Testament. I have seen people have real healing. What I don't understand is why God heals some people and not others. I don't know, because there are really beautiful people in this world who don't get healing. My friend's husband was one of them. There are beautiful people who have been part of this church, who have done amazing things and haven't been healed, and I don't understand it. And you know, the least helpful thing for somebody to say in a moment, whether they are healed or whether they are not, or whether someone else is not, is I've heard people say, well, God must have had more to do with me, so God healed me. That is to suggest that the person who didn't get healing, God had nothing to do with them. And I think, friends, that is just a mess. we can get a second wind and a second life, and we can do beautiful things, and we can have a turnaround, and that's really, really important. And I believe God heals. So when I get that time face to face with God, and I get my one question, I make it up. God never said there was gonna be one question, but I think I'm gonna get one. I'm gonna say to God, why did you heal some people and not others? Why did you make that choice? Because I don't think it's a condition of the heart. I don't think God heals good people and doesn't heal bad people. I don't think that's true, frankly, because I've walked through life with people. There are lots of really beautiful people that haven't been healed, that God didn't intervene on. So it's a question that I live with. These questions of God and humanity are real questions. My prayer is that when we interact with other people about them, we do it in a way of grace. We interact with people in a way that says, I get that you are going through something really difficult, and I still believe that God is walking with you through the muck, through the mess, through the reality. So friends, why do bad things happen to reasonably good people? I don't know. What I know is the world is harsh, that life is unfair, and sometimes we make bad decisions. But at the end of the day, Christ still walks with us. Amen.